You can appreciate this if you've worked in, by the way, these are disclosures. We have nothing to disclose. My colleague, Dr. Zimmern, and I are current recipients from grant from Roche Diagnostics, but it's not for this study. And we've received funding from GlaxoSmithKline and also Roche in the past, again, not associated with this work. So you'll appreciate when I suggest to you that plans themselves are actually vehicles for policy work, and that's really why we even did this study, was to find out exactly what's happening. And these are our team members here. What I would suggest to you is that we've got a disconnect, and I think you already know that, which is what brought you into this room generally and to talk about policy stuff. And this disconnect suggests the need for structural intervention, and I'll talk about what that means. But if you think about the socio-ecological model in public health, we focus at individual level a lot. We can focus at group and social level. We can focus at structural and policy level, and that's where I do my work. And we'll give a couple of examples. So these disconnects tell us we're not reaching women who need to be screened for cervical cancer. We know that vaccination rates vary across the country and by gender. And in our state, in Indiana, we're doing a pretty crappy job. And then we also know that policy incentives themselves can recreate the system's fragmentation. So it makes it really hard to get treatment or follow-up or basic screening and even follow-up on screening to see if you're better. And this is, I think we want to look at this because we know that these inequalities are rooted in socio-demographics, things that we need to be attending to. And these are things you don't fix at individual level. Right? These are things at structural level, access stuff, the way system behaves, stuff like that. Maybe eye glazer stuff at 8:30 in the morning, I don't know. But the thing about it is, with cervical cancer, these things are addressable at the front end. Vaccine, screening access, stuff like that. So it's not like we're looking at an impossible scenario. I think it's something that we could actually do if we really, really put our mind to it. So when we look at the background then, we're really focused here on structural barriers. We think that's where we need to be going. But the other piece is this. States actually have money from CDC to plan comprehensively across their cancer efforts, which is really great because it's hard to herd cats, and because of the artifact of our policy, you know, we're funded for this cancer and we're funded for that cancer, so it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. And these plans in and of themselves can really focus attention across sectors, right? And it allows people in that coalition or in the public health community writ large to say, hey, state X's plan says we should do X, Y, and Z. It also frees up our colleagues in state governments who maybe have their hands tied ideologically to say, well, but the state cancer plan says we should be doing this, which is why we're arguing for Medicaid expansion, X, Y, and Z. And so what happens is these plans have the potential, in essence, to broaden support. And they have it, they can broaden that support for change through strategic direction for advocacy, through direction for funding, and through system change. Okay, so we wanted to find out, are they? And so what we did, our aims here, our research aims, are really to find out, okay, what's happening in these cancer plans? Are they prioritizing cervical cancer in the cancer plans? Because one of our hypotheses was, hey, if they're prioritizing it, maybe they're doing more things structurally. We'll tell you whether that panned out or not. The conceptualization of HPV, how are they conceptualizing it? Are they talking about it at all? Do they conceptualize it in terms of just cervical cancer or a lot of cancers? What's going on with that? And do we see a relationship there? And we wanted to look at what plans are focusing on the structural changes and what structural changes are they focusing on exactly. Okay, so what do I mean by structural changes? I think a lot of people may know what that is, but many, many don't, and don't feel bad if you don't. Let me give you an example. Structural changes are those things that alter the context for access. So if you're looking for a citation, Blankenship does some really great work on this. But think about it, it's context-altering things. In this case, let me give you some examples around cervical cancer. It might be Medicaid expansion, right? More people would have access to payment for all the things they need, right? Insurance, including Medicaid, reimbursement for pharmacy and school vaccination venues, so alternate access to vaccine or screening. Those things are larger incentives that then define how a system behaves. Does that make sense? Another example might be local government contract and revenue reform to facilitate this. And this one's the eye glazer that kills all our colleagues in local health. And yet, if we don't help them figure this out, they will lose the battle to get alternative venues funded. Why? Let me give you an example. Everybody know, can you tell me roughly how many insurance plans are functioning in your state right now under Obamacare? Do you guys know, roughly, what do you guys see? Five? Okay, well, that's a low number. Any others? Okay, yeah, so 12, 5, 11, 8, right. And they're all different based on areas, based on whether your state is under the federal support or they're doing their own thing. And imagine being a local health department that's trying to get school vaccination funded, right, reimbursable. They have to have contracts with every one of those plans. And that's not as easy as it sounds. What do they do with the revenue? There might be local rules and laws associated or ordinances associated with what they do with the revenue. Can they even pull it in? And is that even something that's possible, right? So these things are just eye-glazing, crazy stuff, but it determines whether they could actually fund a service that would be an alternative venue. Do you guys get where I'm going here? Okay, so somebody's got to look at these issues. So we also think that investments in STD clinics as screening venues is an example, so here's an alternative opportunity, and that HPV vaccination requirements or goal settings would be others. So these are what we mean by structural examples. Are they the only ones? By no means, yes, right? We're really saying, hey, lots more. So our method is we conducted a systematic content review of all the plans in the United States and D.C. Now, we pulled Native Nation plans, we pulled territorial plans as well. These were so unique and very focused on infrastructure things that we thought they deserve their own analysis. Why? Because they're really focused on some of the structural issues. And so we thought, let's just look at the 51 plans right now, state and DC, and see where they are. We downloaded them from Cancer Control Planet and also CDC, and then we contacted the states where they had out-of-date ones because we know, hey, they're getting on a new bike, do they want us to look at that one, stuff like that. And so we did this in 2014. So here's what we thought. Here's our hypothesis. We thought that prioritization of cervical cancer would be associated with plans for structural intervention. We thought there'd be some evidence of structural intervention, such as some policy. We thought that we would see some system change stuff because it's, of course, ACA time. We thought we'd see some financing changes around venues or providers or technology. We would really expect it to kind of see examples and things like this in the plans. That's what we thought we would see. And so I'm going to just show you our study variables in the next couple of slides here. We wanted to look at plan priorities. What are the priorities? 1 through 5, 6 through 10 for cervical cancer. We wanted to see how are they conceptualizing HPV and what does that mean? We operationalized it or measured it by saying, did they mention HPV at all? Yes, no. What is the relationship that they depicted with HPV and cancers? Was it just about cervical cancer? Yes, no. Was it just about, was it HPV and all cancers? Yes, no, right? So that's how we measured those things, because we could say, well, gosh, how did they do that? But we need a way of counting, right? So that's how we did this. We also looked for evidence of structural interventions, and we coded and noted them as we saw, as well as their primary emphasis if they weren't structural, okay? We also wanted to see, hey, what's the age of the plans? What's out of date? Where are they in the plan cycle itself? And I'll show you why that's important later. Who endorsed it? Which tells me as a political person, who's watching this puppy? Who has some buy-in to what we say in the plan? Okay. Now these are, if you're a policy person, you'll appreciate when I say to you, we want to investigate relationships with everything, including the kitchen sink. Because in policy, we think things matter like funding, context, political stuff. And so I pull various sets of characteristics that I thought would matter. So of course, demographics in the top end, you know, population, census, region, percent of women ages 19 to 64 who were uninsured, et cetera, et cetera. We looked at some access policy variables as well. Are they expanding Medicaid, yes or no? And of course, it was a snapshot in time where that's evolving, as you well know. Medicaid waiver to expand family planning services, yes or no? If you don't know why that's important, let me just suggest to you it's another venue of screening and vaccination. Philosophical exemption for vaccination, do the state allow parents to pull their kids from vaccine based on philosophical, right? They all have religious, so that didn't count, so we just looked at philosophical. And then religious exemption. So we also looked at these elements around funding. What is the state per capita public health investment? We wanted to know what they were getting from CDC and HRSA. We wanted to look at the policy and environmental program interventions that were funded. That was a special grant from CDC. What were the states? Were they one of the 13, for example? We also wanted to see per capita CDC cancer prevention and control funding, even though we know full well it's not just about cervical cancer. We just kind of wanted to see, would these be the case? We also wanted to look at, and you guys may already know what this means, state vaccine funding regime. Do you guys know what that is? So this means how generous they are as a state for state vaccine funding. So it might be all children of a certain age should have vaccines, and we cover it by the state, whether by VFC or otherwise, right? Or they might say, that's the best. Or they might say, all children of a certain economics. There are about five regimes, I would suggest to you. And they might say, okay, only VFC kids. Or they might say, for certain vaccines. And so there are variations of regimes, if we will, and I would suggest to you that indicates the generosity of the state toward these issues and these populations of need. So that's kind of the kitchen sink of variables that we wanted to associate with the outcomes we observed. All right, so what did we find on the plans? We saw, of course, here that most of the plans were, certainly current. Most were in the mid-cycle or they were ending by 2015, and I'll suggest to you why that might be important. Under endorsement, most were endorsed by the state agency, if they were endorsed at all, right? So that means that their state agency in 33% of the time had some interest in what they were doing, but most, really almost half, had none, no endorsement. And that's okay, but if you want to use a plan for a policy document, you really want to have your political people weigh in, although sometimes you want to stay under the radar and you want to produce the plan that won't make the governor mad. In our state, we constantly do that. Scope of plan, some were 5-year, some were 4-year. Actually, most were within that, and then you could see the others. This just gives you a sense of plan cycle, right, and how often these states would be updating their plan. Okay? Stop me, guys, if I'm going too fast. All right, so here's what we had on the first question, which was, how are they prioritizing cervical cancer? Now, the ones in the dark are, and these are 11 plans or 21.6% of the plans, they had cervical cancer in the top 5 priorities. Okay, good or bad, we don't know. We're just saying who's doing it, right? And those who were in the 6th to 10th priorities are the second dark boxes, if you will, and there were 7 states that were associated with that. And then you really kind of saw a lot of states really didn't have it at all. And they didn't because, frankly, they didn't prioritize any of the cancers. That's not bad. It is the approach of planning that's evolving. They're looking at cross shared issues in cancer. So here's what we saw when we looked at the HPV conceptualization here. You know, how are they seeing HPV? Almost half, so 57.8% said that HPV causes cervical cancer. 42.4% said that it causes many cancers, including cervical cancer. I will tell you that 6 plans, that's almost 12%, did not mention HPV at all. And these were Pennsylvania, Nevada, Montana, Illinois, Idaho, and Hawaii. Now, it may be a function of timing with the dissemination and the development of these plans, so don't spank them yet. Because really all but the Pennsylvania plan were ending in 2016. So imagine if that's a 5-year plan, hey, you know, the science takes a while to uptake. But what the bottom line here is that most, in fact, did uptake, and you can see some associations here. We published in a cancer journal, and I'll give you the citations so you can spend a little more time. Focus of plans, and this is the take home here for us. Most of the plans focused on the individual level, knowledge-based interventions. Let's get doctors to do this. Let's get the public to do that. Let's get parents to do this. Policy change was only identified in 6 plans. And I'm being really super generous because these were things noted without a lot of meat in them. You know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Third-party coverage for screening, insurance that is, they might have mentioned that. Requirements for targeted parent vaccination education. That Indiana is an example of that. We can't get any goals past the legislature, so we could require parent education. And that's a structure. That's a structural intervention because it's a change of government behavior toward this, right? Increasing funding for vaccination and some Medicaid expansion. But I would suggest to you these were not many. And in this case, they didn't really, these plans did not identify in a way that anyone else outside the plan-making group can get their hands around it and take it and go somewhere. And this is what you want with a plan. You want your partners to say, they want this structural intervention, and this is what they want to see happen. We're going to take this. And And that really allows people in the policy process to get it done. So our key findings are that cancer plans generally reflected the evidence of HPV, and that's awesome, so we're evolving in that way. Most plans did not contain any evidence of structural intervention, so there's an opportunity. And there, the opportunity really exists because 41% of our plans actually end in 2015. So we have a chance to encode this. I don't think it's any issue that people don't want this. I'm going to guess people just don't know what it should be and how to really get that eyeball on policy and structure. 31% will end between 2016 and 2020. And I'm involved, I chair our plan review in Indiana, and I know it's not about willingness, it's really about figuring out how, right? So those are our key findings. I am more than happy, and there's our reference to where we published in Cancer Prevention Research, so you can have more and deeper exploration of these issues. But let me pause and take your questions. No, it's okay. Indeed. Yeah, so we did an adjunct piece of our study was to look at, were they in a plan that had other structural interventions? And yes, we did. And in fact, the tobacco cessation kinds of planning, way more sophisticated around policy, structural kinds of things. Our next analysis is actually going to be using Larry Gostin's framework of policy tools and going back here. And we'll look at the whole of cancer plans. I think it's the culture of programming. Right? And with tobacco, we tend to have more folks who lean forward and kind of understand that structural element. They're trying to increase taxes or deal with vaping or whatever, right? Yeah. Other questions or comments?
So my name is Charlene.
Hi, Charlene.
I'm from IHO, and I oversee our cancer program there. So one of the
reference
that didn't include HPV.
Sorry.
We're working on it. So when you mentioned the policy and system change in the plan, how were those in there as a strategic action, or were they specifically in there as a metric to say, implement X number of policy changes by 2020?
Yeah, so not even close to being measured. It might be, gee, we should push for Medicaid expansion, or it was in the introduction, or it might have been around the description of the setting. They might say, here's what's happening in state X, and we should all be moving toward Medicaid expansion, but never very clear that people could actually get their hands around. Right.
And do you have a recommendation on whether or not having policy or systems work listed as strategic action is it okay as strategic action, or does it need that measure along with it?
Well, so I think it's my philosophy that policy, so I think there are two ways, there are two expressions of policy. There's the big P stuff, which is things done by people who are elected. And then there's the little P stuff done by folks who are not, but still really intense, right, and very impactful, right? And an example of that is a plan like this. This is a tool to get your partners around your agenda. And they can take things you couldn't take, right? And so you want a document that is clearly going to tell them what the problem is and where they need to go and some things they need to do. Now, you might have some sub-plans and metrics at the private level, but you really want to be able to give them cover, political cover, when they move forward with those actions so that they can say, well, Idaho's plan says we should do blah, 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 which is why Company X is in front of you arguing for this legislature. And they're not going to say, well, but it doesn't really say that in the plan, right? So you want to give them enough. However, you are in a context of your own, and you know what your span of control is, and so everybody has those. You're going to have some limits around what you're able to articulate. And I know CDC is always in a precarious spot, and they fund these efforts, so how much is considered education, how much is considered structural change? I think there is verbiage and a way we frame it that would help people understand, no, this is really about structural change, this is not lobbying. This is about changing the context, right? And so I think you'll have to manage that, but happy to talk more as you get going. One more question? Okay, sorry. Where are you from? Where are you from? Oh, great. You guys are big partners.
So I was just curious to know if there's any relationship between states that emphasize issue with the way they prioritize.
So I don't think I reported this here, but yes, the answer is yes. Those states that prioritized cervical cancer in the top five were those states that tended to, so at least four times of other partner states, to have high incidence in Latina populations and African American. So they were, it was getting on their radar because of health disparities, health inequities. Happy to keep talking later, though. I know we got time.
Idaho was listed as one of those states where 51st in the nation for screening.
Right, which is good. And really, again, it's just that document of, can you give your partner something to look toward? But prioritization of cervical cancer, which is our comment to you guys, don't feel like we're asking you must prioritize it. I think we saw some great structural change that was examples, even though still a little bit, you know, not teethy enough, that weren't in states that prioritize. We saw no statistical relationship between whether they prioritized and whether they had structural, whether they were part of those few states that had structural. So I don't think that has anything to do with the capability of focus at all. I think everybody can be structural, whether they prioritize cancers or even list priorities. They may prioritize areas like early intervention, you know, screening and vaccination, whatever. Okay. Thanks very much.
Yeah.